we didn't make mistakes. I don't know what team played that game, but it wasn't us tonight. You know, it was 0-0 through the midway point of the game, but we were doing some things okay without the puck to keep it at 0-0, but we were with the puck. It was, like I said, that's not us. You know, I think it probably caught us all by surprise. You know, should have found a way to, you know, I should have found a way to try to correct it during the course of the game. It was tough the way that we started, so that's on me. Never surprised by anything. I think it's fueled by emotion. I think that the way that we went into this game, you know, obviously put a great deal of importance on it, but when that happens quite often, you have to make sure that the focus is right and the focus is on the process. And I think we were focused on the goal, we were focused on the win, and not the focus on the things that we need to do.
Mike Yo, you know, in football, when you return an interception or fumble recovery for a turnover for a touchdown or return for a touchdown, more than 90% of the time you win. I'd like to see the stat for when you score a shorthanded goal to start the scoring. Because that was a killer.
Yeah. That was tough to see.
When they started the scoring, when the Blackhawks started the scoring off with that shorthanded goal, you knew they were in trouble. And then, obviously, when a team like Chicago was up 2-0, you're not catching them. By the way, their goaltending problems don't seem to exist anymore.
Not really. Crawford looks better than everybody speculated.
And what do you think of Devan Dubnyk? Now, on the shorthanded one, he didn't have much of a shot there. But a couple of them, you know, they went under his arm or under his pad.
Yeah, he's letting those goals through that
he wouldn't let through before.
Never let through.
Yeah.
38 straight games now, or whatever he played.
We're going to talk to Tom Reed from the Wild broadcast team. Of course, Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. I want to ask him about that. And, you know, if he just, again, game two or game three, which was the bad game that they had with St. Louis where they just got romped? Was it three?
It's game four.
Game four?
We won game one and three.
That's right. But they bounced back really nicely from it. But now they're coming down, obviously, down two zip to the Blackhawks. They got to get something going. And by the way, Michael or Mikael Granlund?
Yeah, Mikael Granlund.
That's how they were saying it both ways, but then I saw that Mike Russo had something where I think it is Granlund.
Yeah.
Not Granlund, which is how a lot of people say it.
We Americanized it when
we came
here.
Well, you know, we do that all the time with everyone.
Yeah.
So it's Granlund, not Granlund.
Granlund.
And one of the guys was trying to give it the Parise. But here, because of his dad, JP, it's Parise. Parise is probably the right way to say it.
I have a friend that argues with me with that or about that all the time. It's kind of funny. He's like, it was JP Parise. So why is it Zach Parise? Like, because that's how he said it.
Well, but JP, though, I thought he went with the more Americanized Parise.
Eventually?
Well, but before he got here, Zach was Parise. Mm-hmm. That's how all the TV guys said it.
Yep.
Before he got back here, where I think it was more Parise. 651-989-9105, 651-989-9105. How do you say it? Parise? Parise? Granlund? Granlund.
Granlund.
I'll tell you what, the way things are going, after two more games, it won't matter for several months. They'll bounce back, though, don't you think? At least make it interesting.
Yeah, I think this kind of had the makings of a series that was going to go seven games, and I still think it will. It just seemed like that, like Colorado series last year, for example, where dropped two in Colorado, came back here, 1-2. I think it's going to do that. They're just going to go back and forth. Home teams are going to win until game seven, where the Wild need to win, obviously.
Well, they need to win, but whatever issues Chicago had in that first series with Nashville, I don't think they exist anymore.
No. Quenneville fixed quite a few things, apparently.
Yes, he did.
Mike Yo and company cannot find a way to consistently score.
No.
And keep the puck out of their own net.
And you watched the game, right?
Yeah.
What was that stat? It was, I think, in the second period. It was Patrick Kane's shots on goal.
I don't remember seeing it. But
wasn't he? Well, I mean, he dwarfed everybody in the league. He had like 67. The next closest guy was 38.
That's not bad.
That's a lot of shooting.
Probably shoot about 15 times a game then.
But these guys, I mean, he's got, you know, he got the empty netter and he got their second goal. This Blackhawks team is good. Another reason why, if you're a team like the Wild, don't have to have that big second half surge so that you come in as a wild card. Get in there with one of the top teams so you don't have to, you know, you face some of the bad ones.
Yeah, get some home ice advantage.
Yeah, see what that's like once in a while. But again, going into this, everybody was all excited because they were so dominant on the road.
Yeah, they were playing much better down or on the road down the stretch as opposed to at home. But the playoff atmosphere changes a little bit.
Yeah, it changes a lot because that that Chicago team has certainly turned it up a bit. And the why? I mean, it's just not the, in no way would I say they were lifeless, but you could just see their game wasn't where it needed to be. And I think a lot of that had to do with the way Chicago was playing. And I want to ask Tom about this when we have him on. How concerned is it about Dubnyk, or is it just a bad game and he'll be fine?
Yeah, I'm not really worried. The way he bounced back after that terrible game four that you mentioned a little bit ago.
Yeah.
At this point, I just don't think we need to worry about what Devin Dubnyk does.
Here's what you do need to worry about, though.
He still made 30 saves.
Okay, when's the last time they lost back-to-back games?
That was at our last homestand down the regular season stretch, right?
Yeah, but they had a pretty good streak going on, certainly on the road there. I mean, they had the great road streak.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a little, there's things alarming about this, to come back 0-2.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of teams come back 0-2.
Yeah, it does happen. They proved it last year.
Yes.
They just have to do it again now.
And now, Chris Stewart did come back, but did you see the shot into the board when he went flying into the boards? I thought he dislocated his shoulder bad.
I thought he was devastated. He's not coming back. He's not getting up.
I thought that they could just hit him hard because Corey Crawford, he was knocked out.
Yeah.
When he took the shot to the face. I mean, he was like groggy. I've seen a lot of drunks do that. And then, I think he needed to go over to the bench and change his helmet. When he changed that, it gave him a little time to shake the cobwebs off. He was certainly didn't seem like he was any worse for the wear when you get right down to it after the way he played in that game. But we'll
smelling salts, get right back into it.
Nothing to it. Smelling salts will just fix anything.
Yep.
We will talk in a bit with Tom. We're going to talk some football with Chris Thomason. What'd you think of the draft?
You know, I thought the Vikings went out and addressed a lot of their needs, and then reading the article today about how almost everybody they drafted can play multiple positions. Like Trey Waynes is a left cornerback. That's pretty much where he's going to get stuck. But everywhere else, Daniel Hunter can play multiple spots on the defensive line. TJ Clemmings could possibly play inside if need be, but he could play either side on tackle.
Kendrick he was a hell of a pickup.
Yeah.
And the worst grade they got was like, I think they got one B minus. The rest were all A's and B's. And I'm talking about somebody from Fox Sports put this together. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 12. Like 15 different websites and newspapers and magazines gave them grades. No one gave them worse than one B minus. The rest were B's and above. So they really did have a hell of a draft. And the Star Tribune put together a little list about some of these guys. You know, some of the things, little tidbits about them. This TJ Clemmings?
Yep.
The tackle they took in the fourth round? He's the guy with the foot, right?
The foot?
Well, the foot injury. Was he the one that had the Lisfranc, or was that one of the other ones? One of these guys had the bad, the type in Clemmings and foot. Anyway, he was such a good athlete. He was offered a scholarship to play football and basketball at Duke. That's not too shabby. And some of these other guys, I got a friend of mine works for ESPN. He's like one of the senior editors for their football coverage. He loves this McCoyle Pruitt. He said if he had gone to if he'd been a D1 guy and not gone to Southern Illinois, he would have been a first round pick. He might have been rated higher than Max Williams. Because he has said he's seen footage of this guy. He's phenomenal.
That's saying something because we have seen what Max Williams is capable of.
Absolutely.
Up close and personal.
But he was just raving about him, you know, being one of their best picks in the draft. But when you look, every year it looks good when you go up and down the draft. Certainly not all these guys are going to make it. But there are some, there's just interesting guys here. Even their last pick. You know, Edmund Robinson, first player from Newberry College to ever be invited to the scouting combine. Another small college, you know, a guy from a D2 college, but he's supposed to be just a beast, as a player and tackling. So you never know about some of these guys. They did. It looks like it was one heck of a draft. And also, I mean, when you look at their guys, they got defensive end Daniel Hunter in the third round, starting off, of course, with Trey Waynes, then Eric Kendricks from, he and Anthony Barr were buddies in college, but their first pick, Waynes, Kendricks, and Clemmings, If Clemmings had, I think he did have the injury. Did you find it?
Yeah.
It was same with the Lisfranc injury.
Fracture.
Yeah. If he hadn't had that, he could have been, all of them had like first round grades by somebody.
Mm-hmm.
They could have all been, you know, of that caliber and quality.
Yeah, it wasn't long ago that I saw a mock draft with TJ Clemmings going in the first round.
Well, there you have it. Now he slips to the fourth. But when you take a look at this, realistically, Waynes is going to start at cornerback.
Yeah.
Right? Kendricks, he's going to start, whether it's outside or inside.
Mm-hmm.
I think they start him outside and maybe move Greenway inside.
Yeah.
And then, so you've got two starters. Hunter, it's going to be tough for him. Unless he comes out, their third round pick, the defensive end, he would have to have one hell of a camp. Because who's he going to knock out?
He needs to blow away Robinson when it comes time.
Yes. But I don't know that he's going to. Clemmings, however, could start at guard for them.
Yeah.
And then McCoyle Pruitt, with Kyle Rudolph's history of injury, should know he's going to get on the field a lot. That's a really good pickup. And this other guy who's intriguing is the fifth round, the Stephon Diggs. If he hadn't suffered a lacerated kidney, that'll knock you out for a while.
Yeah.
You know, he could have been a higher pick. And he also was one of the NCAA's top prospects when he came into college in 2012. That's not too shabby.
Yeah, I think they had a good haul. I liked trading back in the third round when we ended up with Daniel Hunter. Trading back twice and picking up more picks. We finally saw Spielman do something worthwhile.
Well, that's what he likes doing.
Yeah.
And also, by the way, for if you are a fan of your Minnesota Vikings, they are, and this actually, it's, as long as these guys don't get hurt, it works to their advantage. They did exercise the fifth-year options on Matt Khalil and Harrison Smith. So
yes.
Khalil could make $11 million.
Yeah. In 2016.
2016. $11 million. Boy, that's pretty good money for the way he's played.
Yeah.
But, it's their option, though. If they only have to pay it if he gets hurt. If he has another bad year, they can dump him. But it's probably the right thing to do or the smart thing to do.
Yeah, because you don't want
Harrison Smith for sure.
Yeah.
You know, and if Khalil turns things around, you don't want to risk losing him.
Exactly.
That, though, my gosh.
It's tough to find a dominating left tackle in this league. So give him a chance, see what he's got.
Well, around
if
here,
he can turn things around.
It's tough to find a guy who's not a turnstile here.
Yeah, that too.
The last few years. But maybe with a healthy, who cares if he's happy, a healthy Adrian Peterson running, maybe Khalil will look a lot better.
Yeah, once he starts kind of running downhill, so to speak, and attacking off the line, it helps out his pass protection quite a bit. So he shouldn't be able to get sidestepped the way everybody does.
Last year was a perfect example of it. You knew they were going to throw the ball. They weren't scared of that running attack without him in it.
No,
so teams were teeing off, so they have to be a little bit respectful of the run, so that could make him look a lot better. And it might be interesting, as T.J. Clemmings and him wind up playing side by side. By the way, you see our guy Cameron Botticelli? San Diego wind up signing him as a free agent. We'll have to get him in another time this
good for him.
This year. It is good for him. I'm happy for him. We're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we will be joined by Tom Reed from the Wild Broadcast Team and Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. Be right back with Tom Reed. We are back, and we are joined by Tom Reed from the Wild Broadcast Team and Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. Tom, how are you doing?
Well, I'm depressed after that game last night. But you know what? It's only one game, and we go on from there. There was obviously not a stellar moment for the Wild.
No.
But I don't think I can say that anybody played really well in that game. But Chicago's a very good team, and they've won the first two games there. Minnesota has to find a way to at least win one game there, but hopefully it starts with a win here tomorrow night.
It doesn't seem like a Chicago team in any trouble like it looked a few times against Nashville. I mean, these guys, the two games, they seem to have everything clicking.
Well, they do. I mean, that's a very good team, and you have to be at your best if you're going to play against them. You can't afford those little mistakes. Those little mistakes have become very costly, and that was evident last night. But when you guys, when you look at their team and they have guys like Kane and Taze and Sharp and Hossa and Saad and Keith and Seabrook and Yalmerson, the list goes on and on. That's
waves.
A very, very good hockey club, and there's no question that there's a reason they won a couple of Stanley Cups in the last few years in 2010, 2013. But, you know, Kane was unbelievable last night. Right from the get-go, I said to Bob Kurtz, does a broadcast with me on the radio, said this guy is on top of his game right now. And that was in the first period. He got better as the game went on.
Yeah, he did. And, I mean, Dubnyk didn't have a great night, but it's to be expected. Now, Tom, let me ask you this. In the time that you've, going back to when you played, I mentioned this earlier, I don't know the stat, but it's got to be high. When a team scores a shorthanded goal first, when that's the first goal of the game, it's got to be tough for a team to come back from that. That's a devastating goal to give up.
Yeah, and I was talking to Matt Cook after the game last night, and I said, how's that goal, too? And he said, well, you know, it's only one goal. Well, it is a goal, but it also is deflating to a team. And Suter just lost the puck along the boards, and give Hossa credit. I mean, he was able to, you know, just power his way down along the boards and made a great play. And he got the puck over to Taves, and Taves does not miss. They've scored during the season three shorthanded goals on the air. Taves had two of them, and Hose had the other one. Those two guys combined last night to get the other one. So Taves now has a total three shorthand goals just by himself this season in the playoffs. But he made no mistake on that one.
Now, you were in there after the 6-1 loss in the with talking to these guys. How are they coming back home 0-2? I mean, are they optimistic, or did you see anything that makes you concerned?
Well, I think the one thing about this team, you know, they kind of are able to put things behind them. You know, it's one game. It happened in the past. We got beat. Big deal. It's not, you know, they would like to have won one of those first two games here, but they didn't. So now they've got to concentrate a little bit more. They've got to win four games out of the next six games that are going to be played. So it's not insurmountable. It can be done, but they have to bring their A game. They're going to make it work. So hopefully, you know, the guys will be in a much better frame of mind after that. They were pretty quiet on the aircraft last night, but you know, you have to respect the Blackhawks, but you don't have to be afraid of them. And I don't think they are, but the Hawks last night were just a better team.
Now, the whole thing with Crawford goaltending, there's no issues there in that goaltender, it doesn't look like.
No, not right now. I mean, he's had his moments. Obviously, they had Dowling in there for a while, but Crawford certainly was one of the stars. He made some big saves in that first period against Minnesota. Had Minnesota been able to score, it could have been a different ball game, but they couldn't get it by Crawford. He was very good last night. And in fact, in game one also. So he seems to have picked up the pace where he was so good the last 2 years against Minnesota. Remember, he has played every game against Minnesota in the last three playoff series, including this year. And he's been the dominant factor in a lot of those games. So he's had a pretty good record against the Wild.
Well, I myself, and I think a lot of people watching were thinking, oh, great, when he got hit in the face, he's groggy. Maybe they can get a goal in on him. He just shook it off, put the other helmet on, and he was good to go.
Yeah, I think he must have dented it or broke something on it, but he had another helmet right there, put it right back on. He did not lose a beat. That was a heck of a shot by Scandella. Yep. I mean, that was a rocket of a shot. But you know what? That's using your head, I guess, in the life of the goaltender. He put his head right in the way of it, but he blocked the shot. I don't think he had a chance to move at all, to be honest with you.
No.
But boy, that really dinged him. But none the worse for wear. He got right back in there and was able to secure the win for his team.
You know, Tom, I was a little... Now, you've seen every game they've played. Have you noticed... I thought maybe they'd make him come out and do an examination to make sure he didn't suffer a concussion. That wasn't even an issue. He just decided to change helmets. Do they have different protocols? Do you think it's a little different than they do in other sports, like in football? Because he definitely was groggy when he got hit.
Well, he got hit. I'm sure he was rattled a little bit, but as soon as he got up, he seemed to be fine. And the referee was right in on top of him. To make sure he asked him repeatedly, you okay, you okay? He said, yeah, I'm fine, but it's the helmet was the problem for him. I don't think it was anything to do with an injury of any type. So he went to the bench, replaced the helmet, and then said, let's get her going. So he did. I don't think there's any repercussions from what happened last night.
Well, he's old school. Like, how many times do you think you suffered a concussion and never even considered coming out?
Well, I'm sure I have no idea, but I've had a few concussions. I know that we thought they were hangovers in those days, but we didn't know what concussions were. But if you could skate, you had to play. So it didn't matter if you had a concussion or not. They never diagnosed it as a concussion. Now they're much more careful with the players, but the players are bigger, stronger, faster. There are more hits to the head than there ever were in our game. I think we had a little more respect in that regard, but we didn't shoot near the puck near as hard as it shot there with the technology they have with the new sticks and equipment and everything else. So I think every player has gone through a session where they had concussions. Some mild, if there's such a thing as a mild concussion, but some were pretty serious. But still, I think for the most part, our guys play right through it.
Did you ever wear or did you rarely wear a helmet?
I wore a helmet after I broke my jaw. I had to wear a helmet to play because I had to have that protective guard in front, like the old football guards. I had to wear that because I got hit with a puck and I broke the jaw in two places and broke my cheekbone, broke the oral bone, and I got the bridge broken. I missed one game.
They one game?
Me. I was wired for 6 weeks.
Holy cow.
Yeah. They wired me. I was wired and for 6 weeks. And
Probably not,
what's interesting about that story is I had to take a blender with me on the road because I was wired. I could only take liquid. So I would take a blender and I had like hot milk and I would take ground beef and mashed potatoes and peas and blend it all together. So like a shake to give me the nutrition. And then we're in New York and my blender broke. And the team said, I went to the team. They said, well, we're not buying a blender. That's not our responsibility. So I didn't eat.
Are you kidding?
I just was going to get the milk. No, I'm totally serious.
Oh my God.
We didn't make a lot of money in those days either. So I just had milkshakes. That's all I had for about 6 weeks.
Oh my gosh. Well, how about that though? They couldn't. Okay, you got hurt playing hockey and they wouldn't get you a blender.
No, they weren't going to buy me a blender. No way.
Well, they couldn't afford the $9. Back then, it couldn't even have been $10 for a blender back then.
Yeah. Well, I wanted one of those high speed with all the different jet gas.
Oh, okay.
But then, no.
You wanted the one that did puree and all
yeah,
six
that's
speeds.
Right. Yeah, well, I had to have it in order to get through my teeth.
Oh, man. Well, that's a great one. No, you know what? I would bet that at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub, you have as many blenders as you'd ever need. It's probably one of the things you said, order extra.
That's exactly what we have down here to make just in case someone comes in with a broken jaw, we can feed them. So.
Yeah. You can make anything you want for them. Now, Tom, tell me this. Now, you've run into a lot of people, I'm sure, at the pub and elsewhere. How are fans? Because I've talked, to a few, and everybody's a little down, but they all have that optimism. Is that what you're finding too?
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree with it, the coaching and everything else. Yeah, that's one game. So they had a bad game. All right, put it behind you and get on to the next game. But one thing about the Wild, they've been able to do that when they've had a bad game this season. And remember, that's only the second time since January the 11th and 13th that they lost two games in 60 minutes of playing time back-to-back.
Yep.
That's the first time. So I think this team has been able to rebound from those situations. Hopefully that'll be the case tomorrow night. Blackhawks will be coming in this afternoon, and it's going to be a tough game. The one thing Minnesota has to guard against, so they can't make those little errors they made last night, because when you do it against Chicago, it's in the net. They've got the skill, but they can make those little mistakes result in goals for their hockey club. And when you've got guys like Kane and Tate, they don't miss. When they get the chance, it's in the net.
Now, Tom, you had you'd mentioned about Chicago coming in. Chicago travels with some fans, and I would say that Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub is ground zero for Wild fans. But we did a game there before the first of the year, and you had a lot of Chicago fans there too. That's the place to go for Chicago fans. You're going to be hopping.
Oh, yeah, we will, and it's fun. It's always fun in here, even before the game and after the game, and regardless who wins, I think the fans enjoy coming in here. So it's a safe place to come into, regardless of what type of sweater you're wearing, who your favorite team is. But we expect to have a pretty good crowd here tomorrow night, and probably start early.
Well, and the other thing, Tom, is it's hockey fans, they're not like football fans. They have a good time with each other. They have fun with it. And
they do.
And your place, I've said this many times, there's not a better place to go, not just before a hockey game, but for food or just to have a good time, because you could get lost for hours looking at all that memorabilia you have on the walls and hanging.
Yeah, you're right, and I've got some more stuff. I'm trying to figure a place where I'm going to put this stuff on the walls. I'm not quite sure where it's going to go yet, but I've got to move some stuff around and make room for the new stuff coming in.
Well, you better punch out a wall, because I don't think you have any wall space left. You got to have to add
on. That may happen too.
Well, you certainly can support it, because I know there's always room for one more, but your place does get packed, and it is the place to go for people that are wondering where can we go to watch the game. And you have the great thing is you have the 2-for-1 specials while the game is on.
Yeah, we do. And from puck drop to puck stop, we've done that all year long, and we want to continue to do that for our. Especially for our regular customers to come in here. So we just invite everybody, come on down, be a part of it. And you don't have a ticket, you're going to still experience the fact that you're with some of the other Wild fans and the opposition fans as well.
Well, Tom, we always appreciate talking to you, and we'll talk to you again before this is over. Have a great night tonight at the Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub, talking to Tom Reed from the Wild broadcast team. Tom, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you later.
All right, thanks, Bob.
All right, bye. We'll take a quick break, and when we return, a little threesome and Let's give out the number. 651-989-9105. 651-989-9105. How should we give these away? You know what? Let's have them. If you have to call in and answer all three of them, or just let's have them one or two or three.
I only need just one answer
right.
At least.
At least one question you have to answer. 651-989-9105. We have tickets to tomorrow night's game. Give us a ring. You call. You get on. You answer. We'll be right back. You've been working on that deep voice for those?
Three,
this is David Hillman.
Deep. Magic
deep.
Number.
Started on a 2-watt radio station in Fresno, California. You know who that was?
Number. Who?
What's the Mary Tyler Moore? Ted!
Who?
Never mind. You probably never heard of the Mary Tyler Moore show. Kids today.
She's from Minneapolis, isn't she, or something? She lived here? I don't know.
It was set on our TV station that I... We never really knew if it was Minneapolis or St. Paul where it was actually set. By the way, you know who probably is the toughest player in the draft? This Danielle character to have a girl's name and have to play football with that.
Yeah.
How many guys you know named Danielle?
Seven.
You know seven guys named Danielle? Okay, let's go to Danielle on line one. No.
Now I know one.
And here's what we're going to do. We have three callers. We decided to make this a little contest for tomorrow's Twins tickets against the A's. We got Vince, Eric, and Nick. We have three questions. They each will answer a question. It's random, of course. And whoever gives the best answer, as judged by us, will get the tickets. Let's go to Vince on line one. Vince, how are you? Vince.
I want him to hear the question.
Yes. Okay. I'm just asking how he is, though. Vince, you okay? You good?
Oh yeah, I'm good. I just said, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, thanks. We want you to hear the question, and then we're gonna have you answer it. Hold on. Good.
Hi Bob, I have three questions for you. Number one, did the Vikings fill all of their off-season needs through the draft?
Did you catch the question, Vince?
I sure did.
I love the way they fill all their needs through the draft.
The draft.
The draft. Well, Vince, did they?
I'd say they did not address their needs, which was one of the main needs was to get rid of AP and bring in someone that wants to be here.
Oh.
So I would have liked to see maybe a little trade or something going on in there, maybe get rid of them,
yep.
Get some more picks for them or some, you know what I mean? But
I know exactly. I like that.
It would have been nice.
That's actually that's not what I was expecting, but I like that answer. All right, Vince, hold on. We'll see how Eric from Elk River does with his answer.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. Eric, hold on. We have to put you on hold for a second so you can hear the question. Hold on a second.
All right.
Go ahead.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
Number two, how long can the Twins keep the winning streak going?
Well, for Twins tickets, we have a Twins question, Eric. What do you think? How long can they keep their winning streak going?
I think they can get the sweep against the A's, and that'll be it.
Oh. That's still not bad, though. They're over 500 now. They're 13-12.
That's an 8-game winning streak, so
that's
not
good.
Bad at all.
Yeah, because they've won four in a row. Any reason why?
I think that they've got their run going, and the A's are down right now, so they'll add to it and get those 8 games.
All right, Eric, hold on a second here. Now we'll go to Nick on line three. But Nick.
What's up, Sammy?
Well, you're going to tell me. You're going to get a question and give an answer. And you got two pretty good ones with Vince and Eric. So knock it out of the park, Nick, here. Here's the question.
And lastly, was the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight a major letdown?
Ooh. What do you think?
I think it was a major letdown, considering from a consumer standpoint, the cost of the fight just to be able to watch it. And all the hype and all the build-up, and I think the Mayweather was clearly the favorite going in, and I think he really proved why he was the favorite. So I didn't see it as a letdown at all. No, absolutely not.
Oh, you didn't? I thought you said initially you did. You don't see it as a letdown. Okay.
No, absolutely not.
All right. Put Nick on hold. We got Vince, Eric, and Nick are our contenders for the coveted Twins tickets. You have any thoughts? Are you gonna you're gonna lay it on me? So I'm the because all three were good.
Yeah, they all were good.
They all were very good. You know, the one I'm gonna base this now. By the way, I want to mention to everyone listening and those who didn't get it, we have another pair we'll give away a little bit later. But for now, the one answer, and if this is what I'm basing it on, that I didn't expect as an answer.
The AP.
The AP answer. So, Eric and Nick, you guys had great answers, but you have a shot. You can call back for the next one. We will have another set of tickets to tomorrow night's game against the A's. But Vince from St. Paul is winning these tickets. Vince, how are you?
I'm good.
Good job, by the way.
Doing better now?
You're doing better now? It's good. You just won tickets. The team is on fire. They may not lose again. They can go 150-12. The mathematical possibility exists.
Hey, at least I'm glad. At least I get to go see my hometown A's. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't care if you're home. Oh, so you're from? It's all right. You're from Oakland?
California.
What part are you from? Northern California? What part are you?
No, I'm Southern California. But, you know, when you move out of state, you kind of go for anything in California.
That's a great point. You got me there. Now, let me ask you this question, because you mentioned about AP. What do you think? Let's put aside this, though. What'd you think of the draft picks?
I thought they were good picks. I like that middle linebacker from UCLA.
Kendrick?
He's a real go-getter. He's always around the ball, stuff like that. And I don't know, just something about the draft, it seems like, I don't know, every year the Vikings really do love those California kids because they always get somebody from UCLA, USC for the past, I don't know, 10 years since I've been in Minnesota. It's always somebody coming out here from there in the first couple of rounds.
Well, I don't know if you heard what I said before, but the guy that I'm most intrigued by is Danielle Hunter. Any guy who'd have to drag around a girl's name throughout a college career, that's impressive.
Yeah.
So that one, but the one I'm really interested in seeing is McCoyle Pruitt. I got a friend who works for, he's like a senior editor for ESPN. He loves this kid. He thinks he's going to be terrific. And if he hadn't played at Southern Illinois, he'd have a much higher profile and could have gone a bit, you know, quite a bit earlier than he wound up going. So that one, and they could use another tight end with Kyle Rudolph always getting banged up. So,
The draft is cool and all, but it really doesn't matter until they
play.
Get in the organization and see what happens in between the whistle at practice and on the field. So,
you know what, Vince, you're a very clear thinking young man. I loved your AP answer though, because it was not what I was expecting, and I was surprised too. Now, I think the likelihood of him being traded diminishes greatly, and if he is traded, it would be sometime in November during the trade deadline. Before the trade deadline, because it would mean the Vikings are off to a wretched start and somebody really needs a running back. So I don't see anything happening before them. He will start the season, I strongly believe now, with the Vikings. I just don't see any other scenario where that could happen. So
yeah, I agree with you there. I mean, trying to get as much as they can for him, so if somebody's really in need, then they're really going to start forking over some stuff for him.
Yep. Now, Vince, enjoy the game with your hometown A's tomorrow night, and just hold on here because we got to get your information, and just get here sometime. Well, you can even, I don't know if you're close, but you can get here by 5:30 today to pick them up, or just get here by 5:30 tomorrow. Then they're available for you to pick up all day tomorrow.
That'll work.
Yeah. All right. It'll work just fine. All three of those guys, by the way, Vince, Eric and Nick gave good answers, but you have to have something to break the tie, and for me it was just having a little bit of a tip for the answer I was not expecting.
Yeah.
So
I enjoyed Nick actually giving a decent response to a boxing question, because
it was
kind of a coin flip. You don't know if somebody's going to
gave a great answer
anymore.
No, he did. He really did. Now, what did you think about it? The fight. I mean, that's pretty much what people thought.
Exactly how I expected it to go. Pacquiao would come out early and try and land some power punches and try go for a knockout early or something like that, because he can't win in a 12-round match with Floyd Mayweather.
Oh, and he was dwarf. I mean, there's no comparison in size either.
Yeah.
Size and weight. And did you watch the Derby?
No.
Well, American Pharoah won. That means nothing to you, does it?
I saw that. I was really pulling for Dortmund.
Dortmund. Just couldn't get it. I mean, he did have finished third. He had a nice run, but American Pharoah and Firing Line were just better. The horse that one of them I liked, that Materiality, he had a bad start out of the gate and he never could get back into it. But to me, American Pharoah's got the great name. You know, that's the Triple Crown type of name. Although Mike Gelfand, by the way, is going to join us later. We'll talk to him about the fight and also about the Derby. He made a great point over the weekend. We were corresponding, and I won't spill all of it, but let's just put it this way. That was not a time that suggests this horse can win the Triple Crown. I also wonder, and Mike may know more about this. We'll talk to him later in the show. Bob Baffert had Dortmund and American Pharoah. He was the trainer for both.
Yeah. So it's a win-win situation.
Well, it was for him. He did great one, first and third, but does he tell the owner of Dortmund, why don't you hold your horse out of the Preakness? Because he wants to, I mean, wouldn't you, if you're him, it's a bigger deal for him to get you, get him a triple crown. What's that?
Slow it down a bit.
Yeah, slow
maybe it just don't run so fast.
Let's save him for the Belmont. Well, you know what, maybe we skip the Belmont and go to some other race.
It is such a tough thing to do. I mean, there's a reason there hasn't been a triple crown winner in a fairly long time, right?
Back to the 70s, 76, yeah. 77, it was affirmed was the last one.
So many trainers hold their horses until the final race.
Until the Belmont.
Yeah, so they have the fresh legs. They're ready to go against the other horse that's already...
Winning the Triple Crown, obviously, is worth a ton of money in breeding rights and fees. But just winning one of them, those horses make a ton of money if they win it. And there's... I don't know. I mean, I'd like to see another Triple Crown winner, but this horse has got to get his time a lot faster and pick up the pace a little bit. But you never know. It depends on the competition. We'll take a quick break. When we return, we'll be joined by Chris Thomason from the Pioneer Press. Get his views on that Vikings draft. He covered it. We are joined by Chris Thomason of the Pioneer Press. During the break, I was informed it's Danielle.
Danielle.
I thought it was Danielle. I was going to. Chris, I said that's a tough kid if he went through high school and college with the name Danielle.
Danielle, yeah, I think that's how.
Then don't spell it Danielle.
That's well, how, I'll talk to his mom. I mean, I'll get a number for you. You can call her.
We'll straighten things out. Now, yeah. Everyone, I looked, there's like 15 different sites. Gave this team no worse than like a B-minus. What did you think of the draft? Did you give them high grades for it? Did you think they did pretty good?
Yeah, I think overall they did pretty well. I was looking at Sports Illustrated top 300.